Our Heavenly Father, we bow once again at this holy desk here this morning to remember Thee and to open Thy Word this morning and to reflect on things of the past, to be able to look forward to the future in triumph, Lord, that we might understand the failures, the things that have happened in our life in the past, to look forward into the future, but to have renewed strength, one with You, Jesus, and each of us here this morning. Take us now, I invite the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, as we speak here this morning, and I present the case this morning, Lord. I ask these things in Thy name. Amen. As I said earlier, I made a mistake here on the 30th of the 4th this year. I didn't make a mistake. I did something here by accident that day. And I've decided to do this one again because it was requested that I do this one again for the sake of the computer, for the sake of our friend here, to record it in full. And so this morning I'm going to start with a question. To the two young girls here, listen, did you make your bed this morning? You remember me doing that? Did you make your bed this morning? You did. You did. How many times have you made your bed in the last 3.5 years? Quite a few times? I hope so. Or have you had your room cleaned up? Have you asked Mummy? Has Mummy asked you to clean your room up? Because I'm going to tell you about a man today that he triumphed over failure. One man. And I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. He triumphed over everything. He never failed. Never failed. I'm going to talk about one particular man who tried 1,000 times to do something and finally got it right on the 1,001st time. Now I'm going to talk about that later on. But the scripture that I had to want to read this morning to start with are two things. As I said, I'm changing it around. On that particular day, I read from the passage from John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And it reads this in the New King James Version Study Bible. To the Jews who believed in Him, Jesus said, Jesus speaking in my Bible, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Interesting. Now today, I can say this. Yes, it's right. I can say this. That this morning's service starts for me some 57 or 58 years ago in suburban Sydney. When I was a boy. When I was a boy, I was a bit young and stupid. But that's the way young people are. I didn't quite know what was going on in the world. But one night when I was about your age, these young ladies' age, about 1954, I can think, 55 this happened, I had to grow up real quick. Now in Sydney in those days, we lived in a suburb which was near the back of the Repatriation Hospital, Concord. Those that know it will know what I'm talking about. It's a big place, but we lived near the back entrance, in a street that was the back entrance to the hospital. In Sydney, the weather is very, very fickle. Very, very changeable weather can happen up there because of the temperature off the coast of New South Wales. I grew up this night. I was about, as I said, about 11. I was asked to do something. I had somebody in trouble. My earthly father was in trouble. What do you mean? My father was in trouble because he went to work in the morning, about 6:45, 7 o'clock, And he never came home of a night time till about 7:15 in the evening. It was a 12-hour shift. He worked in a paper bag factory. It was an Adventist paper bag factory in those days. And he was one of the supervisors in the printing factory. So he had to do all the inks and all the pressing and getting everything all ready for the day's work. But after it was finished, you had to clean up because you couldn't leave anything overnight in a paper bag machine because all the inks had to change or they'd set, and you had to clean all the trays out like a cleaner printing presser. He would never get home till after dark. As I said, I was one of three children, and in this particular family this night, I was the oldest, and a severe storm came up with very heavy rain. And my father had gone off in the morning without any raincoat or umbrella. And about 5:30, 5:45, the storm struck very badly. And I was asked by my mother, would I walk up the street, cross over the main road, don't forget I'm only about 11, cross over the main road, Concord Road, 4-lane highway, you know what I'm talking about. Concord Road, near Hospital Road. Cross over the busy road. Wait for my father at a bus stop on Concord Road. How long was I going to stand there? I didn't know. I was waiting for a bus that looked like that. Yes, I've got a model of just about everything. Those who lived in Sydney will know eventually that was a Sydney double-decker bus. Right, not a lot of an English one. I had to wait for a double-decker bus like that. So, big game me, got in my raincoat, and off I went. Off I went. Up the street. I crossed over the road. But I somehow think that the angel of God was, or someone was looking after me that night, because I felt safe going up the street, because in those days the streets only had very minimal lights. I'll get to the light bit later. Minimal street light. But I made it up there. This particular night I had to wait there for probably about 30 to 35 minutes for my father to come off buses. Some buses came from the city, this one did. Others came from Burwood. This particular night, three or four buses I remember went past me. Then I saw the bus coming down the street, round the corner, Concord Road, and the bus pulled up. My father always rode in the top deck. He came down off the top deck to the platform, and here I was with an umbrella for Dad. And I felt that I had done something in my father's life that night that I'll never ever forget. Because I'd rescued my father in the hour of his need. The hour of his need was that he got off a bus from work, pouring rain, like the rain we've had this last couple of weeks here, and he would have got drenched. I had gone up the street to rescue my father. That stuck with me for years. But things have a very, very interesting turn on that. Now, I've told you about that story now. That is the prologue. Well, hang on, that's the start. I have an epilogue at the end, which I'll continue on in the same theme, that this story has an ending some 58 or 59 years later. And what I did to my father, somebody else did to me, nearly 60 years later. I'll tell you about that later. This morning... Oh, by the way, we crossed the road, I held my father's hand. I was right. Once I had my father's hand, I could cross the road and do anything. My dad was there. Umbrella. I was right. I was safe. I'd looked after my father. And that way, that particular incident has never gone away from me. Now, I want to sort of turn up and mention a question. Because at the back of this, I have particular interest in what we've read here this morning. The title on the day that I did this in April, was Abiding in Christ's Word, and I was going to do that again this morning. Or, Never Give Up. But this morning, over a reading this morning very, very early. Triumph over failure. Came up in one of the magazines, came up in one of the things I was reading. And I thought, this is what it's all about. And so, as I've read through John 8, 31 and 32, I am naturally going to have some Bible references. Because I don't stand here without having that. This morning, I would like you to open your Bible, and we're going to be looking at one page. There's one page, there's three things on this that all reflect in this triumph over tragedy. And the first one is found in Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 8 to 10. In my Bible, it's talking about the parable of the lost coin. It has its meaning here this morning. The parable of the lost coin. Jesus speaking in my Bible, and it reads this. Or suppose a woman had 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And then when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that lovely? Have you ever lost something in the house? All right, you'll know I lose keys regularly. That's part of me. Yes, I've not done it since. They're here. Yes, they're there. The keys are there. Have you ever been on the inside? Oh, sorry. You ever been on the outside of a door when you're supposed to be on the inside without a key? And you realise you've slammed the door shut? Now, in the old days, you could do that with some cars. You'd lock your key in the car, but in the old days when Morris Miners were around, you had to lock the key with the door. You had to lock the door with a key. So today, I make it a first farm rule, lock the door with a key. Whether it's modern or whether it's old, the key will be in your hand. It's a protection. I want to triumph over that door. I don't want the door to fail me because I've locked the key in. It's a faith. The parable of the lost coin tells me here that this lady lost something. But the thing was found. She found it. She persevered. She triumphed over failure. Can you consider yourself a failure if you lose money, or I'm not talking about Betty, if you lose something and you sort of can't find it in the house, or I've lost a book, or something like that. This week I searched for a book this week to do with this presentation here today, and it wasn't until about 5 o'clock yesterday I managed to find it. And guess what, it was about the second last book I looked at. Here it was. I knew the title I wanted to look at. It was there. What I'm trying to say this morning is, we have to be very careful. Because if we are diligent in what we do, and where we go, where we see, we'll see that on this particular page here today, there are other readings which are quite good. Take, for example, the one just above it, the parable of the lost sheep. Alright, we know what that is. We know what that says. It talks about the tax collector in chapter 15 of Luke. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. And says, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Have you ever had anything go astray, cattle or something you've lost? A cat maybe, or a dog that's gone missing and you can't find it? I've had that experience here in Hamilton, where they had a cat at home and the cat had fed the cat one night and it vanished. I haven't seen it since. What happened? Uncertainty is one of the things that we fear about. We like to know what happened to that little animal, or what happened. We like to close it off. We like to finish it. We like to know where it is, rather than go on. We like to give it the proper, what you call, a funeral. If we say there is one out there that is lost, then we say this. Jesus never gives up on us. I put that there. No matter what, If there's a situation in our life, can you see that?
No, you can't.
If there's a situation in our life and we need somebody other than family, we need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ we need more than anything else in the world. For if we have Jesus Christ with us, we can do everything. Let me ask you this. This morning, I will read the inscriptions. I'll do the other one now. The parable of the lost sheep I've just done. If you come further over on that page, we see the parable of the lost son in chapter 15, verses 11. My Bible goes from verse 11 to 32. I'm not going to take it all. I just want to stop on one verse. One particular verse here leaps out at me in this particular passage, and that is verse 17. And it says in my Bible, when he, that's the son, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. We are sometimes like that in our lives today. I'm not talking about we're pretty right, but isn't that generally in life today? Because it talks about that. I talk about this word here on the board, calamity. We live in a world full of calamity. This happens, that happens, or we hear this, or we that. This year we've seen all things in this particular state and the country. We have now in the west severe bushfires again, this last 24 hours or so, caused by controlled, so I say, burn-offs within this last 24 hours. And they're out of control still, they haven't stopped them. We see things around us in life where people are rushing to and fro, where they are doing things at a great rate of knots, not taking care to watch what they are doing or saying or where they are. I have to sometimes stop and think where I am. What am I doing? I have to take stock of what's happening around me. Because if I don't take stock of what's happening around me, I have to be careful that I don't become a lost sheep. I want to be in the fold, not outside the back door. Because if I'm in the fold, I'm with you. If I'm out there in the world, I'm out in the wilderness, so to speak. The wilderness can be anything out there which is open to the environment of Satan and all things around it. We also live in a world in which electronic devices play a big part in our daily life. Things fail, as I've shown here before. I have three watches. Remember that one? Those three watches, one I have to wind, one I have to put a battery in, and the other one I have to shake. Otherwise they're no good. They fail. They totally fail. I've got to do something to those watches. If I don't, they're useless. No use having a watch in the drawer on my arm that doesn't tell me what the time is, because it's useless. I need a machine, but machines fail. How is tragedy? This is a torch. I'm not going to put it on. It works. See? It works. But if I don't put batteries in it, it fails. This week I had a bit of an experience. I had something wrong with my eyes. I put a pair of glasses on last Sunday and I got gritty and stuff and all that sort of thing in it. I had a human experience this week where I had something in my eye and I couldn't get it out. And I went to bed in agony on Sunday night. I've changed my sunglasses since then. And I went to sleep. Next morning I got up and I felt something come out of the eye. Like that, if I got up. The body is a wonderful thing. a wonderful thing, because my eye was in trouble, and I was in trouble, and yet the body healed itself. And yet I can't look after myself fully, I have to go to a doctor. Just as that, I have to go to a doctor. I also need a spiritual doctor, Jesus, the great physician. Because the great physician is the master surgeon of the world. Created the universe. All that. When one goes out into the sky of a night time, one looks up and sees what's up there. What happens. So today, I've looked at those three or four verses. The thought is there. If I'm outside and I am a lost sheep, I'm no good. If I've lost a coin somewhere or anything else, a coin is mentioned, no good. But the parable of the lost person, that to me is something special. Because I am lost. And yet at the end of that particular passage, if you go over to verse 32 and come on, we see in verse 31, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and you are alive again. He was lost and is now found." So this morning, I ask you this. Are you lost and yet found? Are you lost in the world in which we live today and you don't know it? Not here, I'm just some surmising. Are you things out there happening in your world that you are not quite certain about? That Satan is out there trying to do his bit? We have to be very careful. Very careful indeed. When I look at this particular thought today, triumph over failure, we can see, or I can see, quite a number of men in their lives who have triumphed over failure. One particular man was a name by the name of Thomas Edison. Yes? You know what he did, made that? In there is a globe. I have a reason for this. I have a reason for showing you this. See that? It's a globe. Alright, it's not quite the one I want up there, but it'll do. Globe. See that? That's a globe. To get that globe, back when it was made in the 1800s, that man, Thomas Edison, he tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and I still haven't finished. He tried 1,000 times before he got it right. Triumphed over adversity. He never failed. 1,000 times, I've got it in the book. But something happened in his life which changed things around. And this morning I'm going to read something, as I read it before. Thomas Edison might be regarded as one of the world's greatest failures. Here is a man who tried over 1,000 different light bulbs until he got it right. 1,000 different light bulbs. Have you ever failed at something 1,000 times before you got it right? Have you ever failed at 1,000 times before you got it right? Sorry. If you had, your name might be right up there with that of Thomas Edison. Actually, Edison didn't think of all these failed experiments as failures. He regarded them as steps. Steps. In a long process. But later in his life, something happened to Thomas that would have defeated him, that have defeated a lesser man. Thomas Edison's son, Charles, a one-time governor of New Jersey, tells the story. On the night of the 9th of December, 1914, that's 98 years next week, Edison Industries was virtually destroyed in a fire. Edison lost $2 million that night, and much of his life's work. it went up in flames. He was insured for only $238,000 because buildings had been made of concrete and at that time thought to be fireproof. Interesting. Charles was 24. Thomas was 67. The young man, about when the fire came, the young man ran about frantically trying to find his father. Finally, he came upon him, standing near the fire, his face ruddy in the glow and his white hair blown by the December cool wind. My heart ached for him, Edison says. He's 67, no longer a young man, and everything was going up in flames. He spotted me. Charles, he shouted, where's your mother? I don't know, Dad. I said, find her. Bring her here. She'll never see anything like this again, as long as she lives. The next morning, walking among the charred embers of all his hopes and dreams, Thomas Edison said, there is great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burnt up. Thank God we can start anew. The spiritual ramifications I can see in that are this. I am a sinner, and yet I can start anew daily with Jesus Christ. Hourly if I have to. No matter what. Jesus never gives up on me. Never gives up on me. No matter how many times, 7 times 7, whatever, he never gives up on me. So I see this. Thank God I can start anew. I haven't finished that yet. 3 weeks after the fire, his firm delivered the first phonograph, that is, the record player. Thomas Edison, we can thank today for sitting here in a loft. Because if we hadn't have had that gentleman, we would have been still running around probably with candles, lighted candles, or kerosene lights, and things of that nature. He was the one who invented it. Now, I could stand up here and tell you I've just been thinking of a few other ones that have actually stood the test of time, triumph over failure. One that comes to my mind this morning is Abraham Lincoln. Look at the failures in his life. Look how he was. Look at Roosevelt. Look at Roosevelt during the war. Look how he triumphed over his physical failures. He didn't let his physical failures in a wheelchair stop him. Some of the most famous speeches ever made was made by him. But the one that comes up to my mind, probably better than anyone else, was this. I've got it here somewhere. There was a man in England years ago, and his name was Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, Sir Winston Churchill, aging and sickly, was once asked to give the commencement address at the Oxford University. He gave perhaps the shortest, you know, commencement speech of all time. The man who had almost single-handedly inspired and cajoled England to enter, endure, and to win the war against Hitler, trotted to the podium. Hanging his cane on the deck, he peered at his young audience through his thick, bushy eyebrows, set his famous jaw, and exclaimed, "Never give up, never." He took a step backward and surveyed those eager young faces once again. Reaching into some great inner reservoir, Sir Winston's legendary voice rose in intensity, "Never give up, never again." I'm not going to try and repeat his words. After an extended pause, he roared, "Never give up, never again," 3 times. Then he took his cane, shuffled back to the seat. The stunned graduates sat in silence. Then the applause began and ended in a thunderous standing ovation, because they know that that man had done something. When you think of some of the words that he said in the government position and during the war tapes that were done, and you think of some of those famous men, he inspired. He inspired people to do things. He could do as some people put it, no good, no harm. But well, I'm not going to talk about his political life. But he triumphed. He triumphed. I can think of another president that triumphed, and that was John F. Kennedy. In his words, all right. There are some people might say otherwise. Some people, but here's some of his famous some of his famous words ring in our ears. I think of another one here this morning. I've just thought of Martin Luther King. That famous speech he made before he was assassinated. He was in a motel room. That's right. Whenever. Famous speech that night. All these people. These men triumphed over failure. I can say today that thank God that I can start again. Can you thank God that you can start again? If I look at this, Proverbs 24:16, for though a righteous man fall seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down in calamity. Now there's a different take on that. Now you might expect something more like this. The wicked man falls seven times, but a righteous man stands upright. The righteous man stands upright because he has something better, because he knows about Jesus Christ. If a wicked man falls, he'll get up and just carry on. But if I get down and get up, I have Jesus on my side. And if Jesus is on my side, then I'm better off for it. I could go on. I'm going to. R.M. Macy failed seven times before his store in New York caught on. I know of a man that had 200 rejection slips, and he called himself a writer. But this is interesting. He had 200 rejection slips, and then he published 564 books. I could tell you of another one. A group of publishers in America, a man had writing to do, and he took it to all the famous publishers, and they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to touch him. No. Perhaps you have read about one of the chicken soup. Now, I've never heard of this. Perhaps you have read about the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. You may not know that the original manuscript was rejected by 80 publishers, it says. There's no market for it, wise editors said. But the poor authors didn't have the good sense to give it up. Since no publisher would take it, they had to publish it themselves. So they did. The unthinkable happened. It made them millions. Isn't that always the way, that the little things or the cheap things here can sometimes be turned into some millions, where the dear things, nothing. Triumph over failure. Where do we go? Where do we start from? Triumph over a failure could be this. From the summer of 1992 Olympics in Barcelona comes a story of triumph over failure, of falling and rising again. No one remembers the runner who came first that day. The runner we remember is Derek Redmond, a sprinter from Britain. Derek ran the men's 400 metre semi-final. This was a vindication of sorts, for 4 years early in Seoul, Korea, just minutes before running the 400, he had pulled his Achilles heel tendon on the warming up track, so he couldn't run. Now life was offering him a second chance. Triumph over failure. This is where it's interesting. The gun sounded on this particular morning and the runners were off 200 metres. But only 150 metres into the race, Derek's hamstring once again popped out and he fell to the ground in agony. Officials ran to the track with a stretcher. He waved them off, struggled to his feet and began hopping inches at a time down the track. The story goes on this. Suddenly a man leapt out of the stands over the railing onto the track and ran to Derek's side and threw his arms around him. Together they hobbled the last 100 metres to the end. It was Derek's father, Jim Raymond. He had sacrificed much to get his son to the games. 5 minutes later, father and son walked across the finish line and 60,000 people gave them a standing ovation. When asked about it later, his father said, "We had an agreement. He was going to finish the race. This is his last Olympics. He trained 8 years for this day, and I was not going to let him not finish." Isn't this what our Heavenly Father wants? In some way or another, it tells us that we have all got problems, whether physical, mental, or personal problems. But the secret to victory is never staying down. Jesus is there beside us, helping us, leading us onwards and upwards, so that we can get up again off the floor, off the ground. I want to be able to say to my Lord, "Thank you, Heavenly Father, you have looked after me." No trait is more important to success, certainly not talent or intelligence or ability, than perseverance in your life today. If I persevere at something, I'm good. Or I try to think I'm good. I don't have tickets on myself. You know, I do, "Oh, that carpet's laid nicely," or "This is nice," or "The seat's nice. Job done well." But I can also fail. When I fail, it is not good. Because I can fail and I can have a rejection. Now, I stand up here today as a direct result of an earthly father who said to me, "Yeah, you're not going to fail, you're going to be doing something." I've got a Heavenly Father that helped me, and an earthly father that helped me even more. Well, you know. The most successful people in the world today are generally the ones who have failed the most. Success usually lies on the far side of failure, doesn't it? How many times now, I'm not computer illiterate, I wouldn't know. How many times have you pressed something on that machine, or your machine, and oops, I made a mistake. Clear. Hopefully the problem's gone away. Modern technology. Isn't that the way life moves today? We are today in a world of electronics where we have to be very careful of what goes on. We have to watch ourselves. I like the statement on the back of this board. I'm going to put it back again this morning because I wanted to show you that. Oh, Revelation. What have I got there? 2:3. "You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary." Are you growing weary in the name of Jesus Christ? Because I'm certainly not. I'm growing stronger, I hope, every day. Stronger in the sense that I am able to endure with him, because I don't deny him, it tells us in 2 Timothy. On the back of the board, on this other side of the board, I'll turn it back again. I have written just a few, because the board's not big enough. In a Bible study that I've got some 25 ones of these. But the main one I want to talk about is that particular one on the top there. Everyone who keeps on keeping on, no matter how many times they might fall down in the process, will find their feet with Jesus. Help will someday find their feet walking on streets of gold. Is that something that you'd like to be able to say? That I want to go to heaven? I want to walk on the streets of gold? That is my aim, that is my goal. So this morning I have put a few passages on the board there. I could only fit in 7. I've got 16 or 17 here, but I've fitted in the most ones that I could. It talks about it. We abide in Christ's word. We suffer with Christ. Yes, we can all do that. If we continue in the faith. Continuing in the faith is most important, because no matter what I say or what I do, I still believe in first of all, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou work and all that, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. I remember that. Most important. Because if I don't remember that, I'm in trouble. 6 days. And when I get to my age or Paul's age, we're both the same, we're a little bit that way. We need sometimes all the rest we can get. We find it harder to do things. We have to go on the beginning. We have to have a rest. Quite a few times. Or it takes us longer to put to get in the garden and do things than when we were 20, 30 years ago. If we endure, if we hold fast to our confidence firmly unto the end, Hebrews. Hold fast in the confidence. I hold fast in the confidence today that I'm in this church today with you all, and that I can have strength from you here today. Because if I have strength from you here today, it means I can go out from this place today, and I can go onwards in the knowledge that I have strength to carry on. The strength to carry on is something very important, because I need to have that strength. If you continue in God's kindness, yes, well, I want to be kind to you, I don't want to be hurtful and rude and all that sort of thing. You've got to watch that. If we endure and do not deny him, how many times do you say, oh, I don't know who Jesus is. He's just a fiction in somebody's imagination. Or this is a... How many people say, oh, evolution. Oh, well, yes, yes. I saw a program that, oh, Australia, you know, so many hundred thousand million years old, and they can go and get the fossils and things like that. Well, hey, you know, it doesn't add up. You know, this is one of these SBS or ABC2 programs. You know, the thinkers channels. You know, oh yeah, not quite right. This is all this new stuff, technology. But where does it all go? You know, all this extra. I put a program the other night about extra algebra and things like that. They've learned how to measure the coastline of the countries even better. Oh, fascinating! But that's where it goes. Where are we today? What do we do? I am in the situation at the moment where I don't want to give up. I want to stand here this morning because I'm going to tell you a prologue now, or an epilogue to this story. The epilogue to this story, oh yes, my time's up, is this. As I said, 57 years ago, I met a bus one night with my father on. It was an umbrella in Sydney. This year I had to go away. I had to go away in April. Easter time. And guess what was here? There was rain. There was heavy rain. And I had to travel away over this particular period. And on this night, I'll never forget, I left home, and I, as my custom was, I walked down to the station. But on the way down to the station with my big case and a little case here and my big coat on, the big long one I got, it rained. Because I couldn't put an umbrella up, I got soaked to the skin. When I got to the station, one of the fellows said, you look like a drowned, you know, you look like something drowned, horrible. Yeah, right, that's how I felt. So dry off, the case was all wet. So I got on the bus and off I went to Melbourne. And of course, the weather got worse. And did it what? The weather got worse. The interesting thing, when I got off the train at the other end, I had a problem that night because I knew about it. Where I had to go, I had to get a tram out to where my sister was. But they stopped the trams this particular night because they were modifying Spencer Street. And they had the tram tracks up where the tram was supposed to go, straight out of the station, across the road on the tram, and I was out there. I had to walk down the street, down Spencer Street to Flinders Street. Guess what happened? You guessed it. Case, thing, coat. On the way down, the heavens opened up even worse than they were down here. Even worse. Once again, I got to the tram stop, and I am looking like a drowned, you know what, and all that stuff. And, oh, yeah, why am I here? And where's the tram? Here it comes. The tram came. I got on. Now, this is one thing that I'm going to say now, and I will remember this for the rest of my life. The tram went out there, an hour and a quarter out to Vermont. And this particular night, the rain got heavy. And I thought, well, here goes me. Muggins is going to get it again. This particular night, the tram comes, it goes down, goes up a big hill and goes up to Vermont South. It pulls into the tram terminus, Vermont South, which is undercover. The tram wasn't, but the terminus was. And I had to get out, and I had to cross over the road, cross over the highway, three or four lane highway there, to meet the car where I was getting a lift home. When the tram pulled up, I saw one of the most glorious sights in my life that I'll ever have. And I'll remember this to the day I went on. Here I saw my sister standing on the tram stop with an umbrella, waiting for me. Waiting for me. 57 years later, I was getting paid for what I had done by my father, by my family, my sister. And so, there was a long time between that happening, the things in between, and this happening in my life, that I can say my family, my sister, looked after me this year in April. 57 or 60 years later, I'll never forget that. There was an umbrella for me to take me down there, across the road, back of the car. I won't forget that. Because that was a vindication of what I was doing. I remember this. I told her. I did that. She said, I remember that in the family. 57 years ago, after that time that I did that to my father, if he went to work, he would knew he could get, and he didn't have an umbrella, he could get off that bus and know one of his children, my brother or my sister would be there at the bus stop waiting for him with an umbrella. Now, does that say something? It does to us. That's just a family history, a family story that I'm sharing with you this morning. Now, sometimes we have to be close in the family. Because if we're not close in the family and do these little things for one another, we can fall apart. Now, I'm sure that you can probably remember things in your life that have happened. But that is one thing that will stay with me for the rest of my life. Triumph. When I look at this particular subject today, this particular study I got out of this book, Garments of Grace, it was a lesson study that we did earlier on in the year. There was one particular passage of pages in there which is absolutely, to me, is just marvellous, the ones I've quoted this morning. But to finish off today, I would like to say this. It has been a privilege to be able to be here for a year, this year, 2011. This is my last time here for quite a number of weeks. I would like to wish you well as we go forward. But this time of the year, though, we are in December, and we all know what December is. I'm not going to mention that word. But we have to be careful around us. We have to be particularly careful when we travel, or on the road, or have our walking down the street, and make sure our money and our wallets are all secure so that we don't get so-called robbed or anything like that. But this time of the year is an opportunity which gives us probably a habit twice a year. One is Easter and the second is Christmas, when the world's mind generally will talk about spiritual things. And so over the next few weeks, we might be given a chance or an opportunity to witness to somebody somewhere in a way that we never thought possible. Over Christmas, it could be there. And so my prayer is this morning, and my final statement is this, to you. As we go forward into this month, I pray that we will be united in unity. We can stick together as a group here in Hamilton, uphold the love of God, uphold what the Bible teaches us in the parables and the words of Jesus said, that we have perseverance and we are able to persevere, but to above all, hold up to Jesus Christ as our Savior. As I said, on the other side, Jesus never gives up on us. He won't give up on you either, if you want. If you want to give up, fine. But the story is this. The story can be thought of this. Think of a young girl or young person. I had a family member years ago, and she had legs. I might have said this before. She had legs that you out from her body went out like that. And she couldn't walk till she was about six, till the doctors fixed her up. Crawl around on the floor. The doctors had to fix her up in the hips. Once she could walk, they couldn't stop her. Spiritually, if we are young people or babies in the God, in the Bible, we have to be trained to walk. I am hopefully, I'm going to say something now, that I hopefully, I'm far enough advanced in the Bible knowledge, that I'm not yet a pastor or anything like that, but I know enough about this to be able to find my way through, to be able to understand. I have to understand what this is, because through this book here today is our salvation in Jesus Christ. Because if our salvation comes through this book and knowing Jesus Christ, that's what I want. As I leave here this morning, I pray that we will be able to say that too. That our Bible, through Jesus Christ, is our Saviour. Recently, I just imported a book from America, just this last week. The book cost me $475 to buy and $66.30 to get here. That's $530. The dearest book I ever got, ever bought. Railway book. Dearest book I ever bought. That long, that wide, it's about that thick. I said to myself, that's nice. Very nice, Ronnie, you've done that. Keep that. That is worth more than $520 to me. Much more. Because the other book won't give me eternal life, but this will. This book will give me eternal life. Through here. If I'm prepared to read it and study it and do that, the book will give me eternal life. If it doesn't, I've missed the mark. But the onus is on me. The onus is on me to renew myself, not hourly, not daily, minute by minute to Jesus Christ. Because if I do that minute by minute to Jesus Christ, I want to be in touch with Jesus Christ through prayer. Thank you very much for letting me speak this morning. This is a special day for me. It's my last one here. And I hope that I have said a few things, and yes, that's right, that said a few things this morning that will evoke memories and will help you out on your way. If we have disasters in our life, we can always remember that we have Jesus Christ on our side. We thank you for this chance this morning to be able to come to thee and worship thee, you know, through the open book, the Bible. We thank you for the topic this morning that has been discussed, and for the holy angels and the Spirit to be with us this morning. As we leave here this morning, Lord, I pray that God will be with you till we meet again. Lord, that is our challenge this morning, till we meet again. Help us, Lord, to keep our faith true in thee until we meet again here in this church. I ask these things in thy name. Amen.